Part C. In this part of the test, you'll hear two different extracts. In each extract, you'll hear health professionals talking about aspects of their work. For questions 31 to 42, choose the answer A, B, or C, which fits best according to what you hear. Complete your answers as you listen. Now look at extract 1. Extract 1, questions 31 to 36. You now have 90 seconds to read questions 31 to 36.
And today I'm going to be giving you a broad overview about the incidence of congenital heart disease in Australian newborns. Certainly we know that if the mother has congenital heart disease, then her children are more likely to have congenital heart disease. We know that the older a mother gets, that this places her at risk of having a baby who has congenital heart disease. We know that if mum has diabetes early in pregnancy, and particularly uncontrolled diabetes very early on in pregnancy, that this places the baby at risk of having congenital heart disease. In pregnancy, we screen women for rubella, for cytomegalovirus, for herpes simplex virus, and for Coxsackie B virus, because we know that these viral infections are all associated with congenital heart disease. So you would think that we probably diagnose congenital heart disease quite well antenatally. And we certainly know that, for instance, in Queensland, in the most recent statistics, that 99.7% of pregnant women have an obstetric ultrasound. If we compare this to Victoria, we know that in Victoria, around 95% of women have an antenatal ultrasound at 18 weeks. What might come as a surprise to people is that despite our excellent techniques in ultrasonography, that in fact only around 53% of quite significant congenital heart disease is detected. And to put this into perspective for you, if we look at the number of babies that the Newborn Emergency Transport Service retrieve every year with congenital heart disease, we know that around 20% of the babies that we retrieve will be born in a level one hospital. Has very limited diagnostic facilities, so may or may not be able to do a blood gas, usually cannot do a cardiac echo postnatally, and therefore in these places the staff have very limited facilities to deal with a baby who's born who can be really quite ill. Around a quarter of the babies that NETS retrieve will be born in a level two hospital, but these hospitals again are unable to maintain a baby who needs full life support or who needs intubation and ventilation, so these babies have to be retrieved. So we see that on average around 45% of babies who are born with very significant congenital heart disease are born outside of a tertiary centre. One of the questions we get asked quite often is that why don't these problems present in utero? Why is it that the baby grows quite normally, is a good size, the mother gets to term, goes into spontaneous preterm labour, and it's only after the baby's born that we start to see problems? We certainly know that this is because of fetal circulation. So during fetal life, the placenta is doing the work of oxygenation and carbon dioxide removal, and the baby really contributes very, very little to its day-to-day survival, probably only about 8%, because the placenta is oxygenating the blood and therefore the lungs are not acting as an organ of oxygenation. Now, of course, when the baby's born, the baby has to undergo very dramatic physiological and biochemical changes to shift from fetal circulation to an adult type of circulation. And therefore, if the baby has congenital heart disease, this is the time period that we're going to suddenly see it. Now, contrary to what people have traditionally thought, the ductus arteriosus does not necessarily close with the first breaths of life. And in fact, we know from ultrasound studies that only about 20% of babies' ducts are closed by 24 hours of age, around 82% by 48 hours, and in some babies it takes up to 3 days for the ductus arteriosus to close completely. And this becomes important when we are thinking about the baby who has congenital heart disease, because the timing of the closure of the duct can affect the timing of presentation of the baby to us. So we would expect that by 3 days of age that most babies' ducts will close. So what happens if the baby has congenital heart disease? How are we going to know it, and when are we going to see these babies present with it? Well, basically, it all depends upon what the defect affects. So if the defect obstructs normal circulation, then we're going to see symptoms very, very early in the newborn period, basically in the period between the time the baby's born and the time that the ductus arteriosus closes. So conditions like transposition of the great arteries will present very, very early, within the first few hours of the baby being born, as opposed to some of the other conditions which appear as anatomical changes occur, such as the duct closing after 3 days of age. So this would be conditions such as coarctation of the aorta. And this can typically present around day 7 or day up to day 10 of life, and typically after the baby has in fact gone home. So this might be picked up by the parents, who notice that the baby is mottled, he's feeding poorly, seems cool to touch peripherally, is very, very tired and lethargic between feeds, and seems to be breathing up quite markedly. So how are we going to make a definitive diagnosis of congenital heart disease, and especially out in a small hospital or a GP surgery where they may not have gold standard tools? We certainly know that the gold standard for diagnosing congenital heart disease is echo by a paediatric cardiologist after birth, but these facilities are really only available at the major tertiary teaching hospitals such as the Royal Children's. And so until a cardiac echo can be performed, we really have to rely on our clinical signs to try and differentiate congenital heart disease from some of the other causes of cyanosis and collapse in the newborn period. And this can be really quite challenging.